Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
Future CEOs on Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's Thursday afternoon, and as per usual, we're here giving you everything that you need to know if you are a young, up-and-coming, high-potential person who owns their business or is in a career where they want to potentially run that business. Flubi, does that sound okay? Is that accurate?
Let's start from the beginning. How was your Freedom Day, Gareth Armstrong?
Okay, it's always nice that you're here to slow things down and make it relaxed.
How are you? How was your Freedom Day?
It was, I said this to someone the other day, it was 100% self-indulgent.
Love it.
No, and really that's what freedom is, isn't it?
Correct.
The ability to do that. Is that accurate?
Yes, but I think we need to strike a balance. So health and fitness has to play a part in a bit of self-indulgency, correct?
And again, we always pull all of these things together and you pull us to where we are today. Why do you say health and fitness?
Because we've got, you know, one of the most celebrated, one of the most successful, one of the most educated,
highly regarded medical
practitioners in the house. I had to ask him, should I flu vaccine or not to flu vaccine this month? And he did answer that question. But bigger and above that, we're going to be talking the innovation of humanity with what he does. And I think he's got a lot of things to give us and a lot of things to help give tools to those people who are ambitious entrepreneurs and are high potential executives.
Well, part of that conversation is, yes, we're going to be talking entrepreneurship because Dr. Mortara, I hope I'm getting that right, Dr. Mortara, he's a top cardiologist, but then as a result of the knowledge that he has, he's been able to see things, certain things in certain ways that many of us don't, and then so innovate in the space that he's in. That's the first half hour. Second half hour, we're going to be talking to a very interesting managing director of a large French company based here.
Wow.
But he comes from a little bit of a different angle. Often MDs and CEOs, these accounting types, you know, lots of numbers. But he's got a bit more of a marketing background. And so we'll talk to him about that.
Great stuff on the show today.
We do have a great lineup here. Let's jump into this conversation. Let me just quickly ask, what was the answer to the question? Should I vaccinate flu vaccine or not to flu vaccine? What was the answer?
Nope. If your health is great and you're fit and you're young and you're able to do things as you ordinarily should, it's not necessarily the way to go. But we can hear more about it from the man himself.
Yeah, let's do that. Dr. Mortara, you told her not to flu vaccinate. What about me? Do I look fit and healthy enough to not?
Well, hi, Gareth and Shlubi. Thank you for having me on your show first.
Thank you.
It's controversial. I don't believe we actually need to vaccinate against the flu if we are otherwise young and healthy and fit. Mm. The flu vaccine is really for people who are sick, you know, who have chronic medical conditions.
Oh, right.
And they would benefit from getting the flu vaccine. But most young people today are generally exercising, and as long as you're supplementing in the right way, and if you are fit and otherwise healthy, there's absolutely no need to take a flu vaccine.
Okay, well, that's interesting. It seems to go against some of the common narrative out there. It's always do it, and all these medical companies and other brands telling us to do that. You know, you're able to tell us that because you're a medical doctor, but you're more than that. You're also a cardiologist. Just give us a little bit of background before we give it the entrepreneurial spin, which is really why we have you here in studio talking to us.
Yeah, so I'm a medical doctor. I qualified in South Africa at Barrow Gwynedd Hospital.
Okay.
And then I specialized as a cardiologist, and that's what I've done for most of my adult life. And I like the preventative side of healthcare, you know, rather than just looking at medication. And I like to find the reasons of why we are ill today. I also like to look at health from a little bit more of a holistic point of view rather than just targeting a particular symptom with a particular drug.
Mm, okay. And I guess that holistic point of view then really gives you a great opportunity to be able to, and we used the word earlier, innovate in the space that you're at. So just brag a little. You've been recognized quite a lot. You've done a number of different things, started a number of organizations. Please just share a little bit of that, please.
Yeah. So I started the first women's heart clinic in our country.
We do have the best of the best on our show, I tell
you. We do.
a few years ago, and you may want to know, you know, why a women's heart clinic.
Obviously.
And that's because women are so neglected. You know, they used to think that only men have heart attacks, whereas in fact more women die from heart attacks than men do.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, one in 40 women will have breast cancer, but one in four women die from a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, women are not necessarily educated about that. I think partly because of, at the fault of most of my colleagues, who themselves don't believe that women suffer with heart disease.
Mm.
So women also present completely differently to men with heart disease. So, and when I started seeing this change in my practice, you know, I went and looked at it again and found that there was a huge need to create a clinic specifically for women to prevent heart disease.
Okay, lovely. Then, so that's the on the one side. Then you've got something else called CardioFit. What
right.
is that?
So CardioFit was a new business that I started in May last year. And again, it was started out of a need based on what's happening in our country. So there's a study that's been published by the World Health Organization that shows that as South Africans, we have the highest rate of high blood pressure in the world.
Oh, wow.
But also with the worst control rate. And I remember doing an interview like this in March or April last year and leaving the interview and feeling so despondent and frustrated at the fact that in the last 50 years, we have good clinics and good doctors and good medication, yet the rate of blood pressure just keeps on rising. The rate of obesity, the rate of diabetes just keep, and cancer just keeps on going up and up and up. So, you know, I had to go and relook at all of this because something is obviously wrong in our society.
Mm.
And when I researched the whole situation, I found that the problem wasn't really in the actual diagnosis of blood pressure or the actual treatment, but in the actual follow-up of patients. So if you've got high blood pressure, you actually don't know your readings. And it's a silent problem. So I found a very good company called iHealth overseas who makes a Bluetooth blood pressure monitor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I went and created a unique app around this monitor so that we are able to see all your blood pressure readings. And then it's linked to ER24's call center.
Wow.
So if your blood pressure is dangerously high, as an example, if you're in a heart attack or stroke range, then somebody from the call center will call you and they'll dispatch an ambulance anywhere to where you are in South Africa.
Fantastic.
To come and take you to your nearest doctor or to your nearest clinic so that hopefully we prevent the heart attack and stroke. So the blood pressure monitor itself was not new, but the services linked to the app and the monitor was unique and the first of its kind service in the world.
Hmm. Fantastic, Luby.
Unbelievable. And you being a leader in Vein Sculpt, tell us about that. Another innovation from Dr. Riaz.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So, you know, many of my heart patients who came to see me either before or after bypass operation used to complain about the veins and said, look, what can we do about our veins? And there wasn't really much I thought we could do for veins. And until I discovered that, again, somebody in overseas had developed a unique treatment or an approach to the treatment of varicose veins using a laser fiber. So I went and spent some time in America learning the procedure and then brought it to South Africa. So at the moment, I'm the only cardiologist in the country that's trained and accredited to perform a procedure called endovenous laser treatments. You know, this involves inserting a laser fiber into all the big veins and literally burning them away. So,
I don't know what to say. You know, it's one thing to say that this is your passion and what you love and you know, want to leave the world a better place. But it's another being an entrepreneur and adding value to society. And as you say in your own words, then the money will flow.
Mm. Yeah, I think if you make it about the money in life, you will always lose. I believe in creating a service, that the service is the most important thing, and that, you know, if your service cannot be second-guessed, that the money will flow anyway. You know, so I think it's largely dependent on your perspective in life and what you want from life. But if we continue to provide a service to humanity or to our fellow humans in any way, no matter how small or big that may be, then, you know, the money will follow.
I guess it goes to the, and I've heard it said somewhere before, if you want $10 million or 10 million rand, solve a million people's problems and charge them 10 rand to do it. I mean, that's really what seems to be coming out here. Dr. Mutara, please talk us through some of the beginnings of you. So this entrepreneurial thing, has it been there since the beginning when you were young, when you were in school? Did you feel it, but yet still followed this cardiologist path or this medical doctor path? Just talk us through the early years.
I think that's a very interesting question, Gareth. I think, you know, if I go back as far back as I can remember, I always used to dream about being unique and creating unique things and being of service to humanity. I think I was like that as a child.
Okay.
I spent most of my adolescent years working as a part-time job on a Friday afternoon and Saturday morning in a bicycle shop and selling fishing tackle.
Okay, interesting.
And to earn extra money and to actually look after myself. So I think by the time I was 14, I was almost self-sufficient.
Oh, wow.
Already. And
sorry, can I jump in here very quickly? Did that come from your parents? Was it something that they pushed? They said you must get onto your own two feet, or was it just something innate?
No, my dad was a teacher and my mom worked in a bank. Okay. And we were six kids. Mm. And we grew up in what I would regard as not an underprivileged situation, but in a relatively poor background. And I believe your voids drive your values. You know, so I grew up in a community with a lot of wealth around me and being the kid without anything. And I think when you have that type of need to fit in and that type of need to succeed like everybody else, you know, those values or those voids drive your values. Mm. So as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to do well in whatever I was going to do.
Okay. And then just talk us through then, so you have a little bit of background, you've got this energy inside of you that's pushing you in a bit of an entrepreneurial way. The cardiologist, medical doctor thing, where did that come from?
You know, my best friend at school who I used to compete with was going to be a doctor. And I felt, well, if I'm going to compete with him, I'm going to become a doctor as well.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, that it, the need to become a cardiologist or a doctor was there because I wanted to help people. Mm. That came subsequently, or, you know, once I started doing medicine. In the beginning, actually, I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
But there was this competitive streak.
There was a competitive streak in me to succeed, and I just felt, well, okay, if he's going to become a doctor, I can become a doctor too.
Mm. So I guess as I'm hearing that, I think back to maybe my history or your history, and I'm sure our listeners are thinking back, do I have that competitive streak in me? And enough, certainly, to get me to really qualify so excellently or to a certain level.
You just want to have excellence in your life all the time.
Exactly, exactly. And then also use that energy to innovate and to change things and to do things.
And to empower other people.
Yep.
Just talk about empowering other people, Dr. Reese.
I think that's the most important thing, one of the most important things with whatever we do, that if you make it about yourself once again, it's about your ego and you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm. So in any business, nobody works for you, I believe, but rather with you. And if you have that type of attitude and you empower the people who are with you in business to also do well, and you empower them to be inspired and to have great ideas, that you're far more likely to be successful than believing you are the boss and it's my way or the highway. Mm. So for me, I've always had that attitude that, you know, the energy of three or four or five people around the table who are all inspired and on the same page is far more valuable than just what you believe your inspired vision to be.
Mm. Yes. Gareth, anything to add to that?
Well, nothing to add. I guess I need to ask a couple more questions here. So you are along this path. You're doing cardiology. Suddenly you feel something, and you decide, I'm going to jump. I'm going to do this. Where did that come from? Because it's you were comfortable, surely. You were earning good money. You didn't have to take the risk. Where did this idea or this desire come from?
You know, Gareth, in the field that I work in, you know, I see people in hospital every single day. And I see so many regrets in hospital.
Correct.
You know, people lying very sick, they've had a heart attack, they've had a stroke, or it's a family member, and you can almost feel the regret when you walk into a room. And that I could have done so much more, I should have done this, and I should have traveled more, and I should have taken this risk. And I found that for most people, when you talk to them, the thing that actually holds you back is a fear. And it's not so much a fear of failure, but sometimes the fear of success actually that holds people back. Okay, because they're not sure what they're going, they haven't thought about what they're going to do when they are successful. So, and what you fear, I believe you attract and breed near.
Correct.
So sure, you start off with a fear that I don't have enough money. I have this great idea to start a business or a great idea of how I can improve the lives of other people. And you are inspired. And then you say, but what if? Where am I going to get the money? And I've learned to understand fear. So you can't get rid of fear. But if you understand fear and if you deal with fear in the right way, you can actually achieve anything you want to in your life.
Talk us through that understanding and then how you deal with it, please.
Yeah, so, you know, when you have an inspired idea, I believe that if you approach it from a point of view of saying, well, this is what I want to do, begin with the end in mind, as they say. You know, have a destination or a picture in your mind of where do I want to go with this? What is it that I actually want to do? And then the steps become far easier. Whereas if you're not sure where you actually, who you want to be or where you want to go, what is the end game for you with regards to this particular idea, then it's as if you're going in a circle. So you're getting to Cape Town, but going via Durban and Limpopo and Port Elizabeth to get to Cape Town rather than just flying directly to Cape Town.
So it's almost a contextualization of the fear, of the concern within what you are planning to do. And, I like how this then almost pushes away from this idea that we should be in it for the money. Because the money, I guess sometimes money, although it's a good goal to have, is sometimes too much of a vague kind of ambition to have. Is that accurate?
That's correct. And, you know, we always want something. And I believe if you want something, you're always going to want it. It never comes your way. So
that's so true.
You know, there's the concept of what we call be, do, and have. So we say to ourselves always, when I have R1 million, I will do this. When I have R1 million, I will exercise more. Excuse me. When I have this, I will spend more time with my kids. And what you're really saying to yourself is that it's something in the future. So what I've learned in life is that when you desire something in your life, then just be it. You know, if you desire to be happy, then be happy and you will have happiness.
So hold on, if I desire to be you can come in here, a movie star, just be a movie star.
Just be dramatic.
Maybe that's the answer. Maybe you must be dramatic, right?
For sure. So, you must always be, have the gratitude or be grateful in advance for what's coming your way. So many, and that's part of getting rid of the fear, is to, if you believe that you have it, and this is the difference between, I think, what we do in South Africa and what you would look at in a kid in America. They almost have a sense of entitlement that it is theirs.
Interesting.
So you almost have to believe in yourself that you have it. It's yours, okay? And have the gratitude for it in advance and just be, rather than wanting all the time. The more you want, you're always going to want in life.
I like that. I like that. So don't just want. Get into the position where you are actively acting it out, I guess.
You might have a completely different co-host next week.
Okay.
I might just stand firm by Dr. Riaz's suggestions.
I just want to jump in here, though, because you use the word entitled, and it's a word that is bandied about in a number of different ways as well. But what you seem to have said is they have an entitled attitude, but that leads them to action. Or leads them to act rather than leads them to perhaps behave inappropriately as a result of that. Do you see the difference? Maybe that's also another difference between them there and here.
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at what we've just spoke about be, do, and have, there's another way of trying to look at it in terms of conceive, create, and experience.
Okay.
It's the same thing put in a different way.
Mm.
Many of us conceive, I believe, of great ideas. You know, our questions are often answered all the time for us. And the idea is that you're never going to achieve anything that you desire unless you actually do the work. Okay. And be steadfast that you are going to achieve your goals.
Mm.
So if you conceive a great idea, go and create it. And then experience the joy of having created it. But if you're always going to want money and make it about the money, actually, the opposite happens to you, I believe, you know, that you actually don't achieve your goals.
Mm.
So make it about a service. I mean, whether you're a doctor, it doesn't matter what you actually do in life. I believe that if you do this little exercise at a dinner party one day and just ask people, what is their purpose in life? You know, why are they here?
Mm.
Why were they born? What were they born to do? And you'll be surprised at the answers that you get. You know, and most people would say, well, I actually want to help AIDS victims and I want to help cancer victims and I want to help orphans and so on. And what that tells you is that we all have a need, okay, at a very, very basic level to serve each other or to serve humanity. And if you start from that background, that what is my true purpose or my one true purpose for having being born in this life, and link everything else that you do, whether it's in business, in your fitness, in your social life, and your spirituality to that one true purpose, then you're able to succeed in life. You know, I look at patients every single day of my life, and I look, as I said to you, I look at the regrets. And I think for most of the time, we've been sold an illusion that you're going to get to 60, we're going to have all this money, and we're going to get on that cruise ship with everyone else and on a wheelchair. And I'm going to enjoy my life, and this is what it's going to be. And actually, that's a fallacy or an illusion. You live now.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you are in the present now. And if you do that in your business and you apply those rules to what you do, it doesn't matter what you do, you will succeed.
Very nice.
You've had a long journey in your career, and we always talk about the entrepreneurial role being a very lonely road sometimes. Mm. But I see within the CardioFit and the Women's Heart Clinic and the VeinSculpt, partnerships are a great part of a great business venture. Tell us how important and how intrinsic and valuable these relationships are to make you upscale your business if you want.
Yeah, often, you know, I think for most people it's very difficult, especially young people, who want to start a business and don't have access to finance or don't believe they have access to finance and don't trust anybody with the idea, and often that idea falls away.
Mm.
I think, Shlubi, for me, the most important thing is to surround yourself with people who are more successful than you are in terms of what you classify as success, because you learn from them.
Mm.
Okay, find a mentor in your life that you can bounce ideas off. And that can guide you, okay? There are many people around this, and you can read about people's examples, but you can find somebody that's sort of been through the game already who can then guide you. And, you know, that's the one thing about the South African spirit is that there's more than enough people who are willing to help, you know, who are willing to guide you and don't actually need your idea or don't need your money. And if you look in the right places, you can find those people. So for me, partnerships are very important. I believe that if you start at the base of honesty, and that if somebody's going to cheat you, they're going to cheat you. Sure, you take all the precautions and so on, but if you start with, you know, at the base of integrity and honesty and with sharing in mind, okay, that you will succeed.
Especially, I guess, remember what the doctor has just said here, is that the people that we're surrounding ourselves with are the people we're probably going to have these kind of conversations with. There's this be my partner kind of conversation. Very nice. Thank you for that. There, we are running out of time. I'd like to quickly hear, and please tell us a story. Tell us the story. The biggest mistake that you've made along this path, maybe as a parting thought. Mm. What's the biggest, your biggest favorite mistake?
Yeah, my biggest favorite mistake is that, you know, I believe my head is filled with ideas, Gareth. I mean, I have, every day I have a new idea of what I could do differently and start a new business. And I think my biggest mistake in life initially was to believe that I could do everything. Mm. As we discussed earlier, you know, for me, stick to what you know. Okay. If you are a doctor and you want to be a businessman, then be a businessman in the medical field. If you are into financial services or banking and, you know, that's your background and you want to create something new, go and look for the gap or the niche or the exciting part in banking and do what you know, you know. And often when we try to be everything else that we are not, okay, that's when we are, that's when we fail. So I've been through that many times and I've had to learn that example and the very hard way. And you lose a lot of money and you lose a lot of time. But I don't see it as a loss. Everything is an opportunity at growth.
It does. It teaches you time and time and time again.
What keeps you motivated?
You know, I mean, I have a great family and great kids and so on. And I think it's just my nature, the way my mind functions in a way that I don't want to ever stop creating. I don't ever want to retire in the sense of what we talk about retirement, you know. So I believe that, you know, as long as I'm alive, I will be constantly creating in whatever way, if it's in a big way or in a small way. And I think that's what keeps you inspired. That's what gets you up in the morning when you've got a great idea and you think, I can do this.
Fantastic.
Creative, dynamic, relentless. Dr. Riaz Mukhtara.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very, very much for being here on the show. Thank you for your words of wisdom. A very different kind of show to some of the conversations that we do have. Certainly very, very insightful. By the way, everyone, speaking of creative, please, Aria Kelman, he hosted a very interesting conversation called Creative with a K the other night.
Okay.
It was here at the studios. It was an interesting experience. I was sitting outside. We turned the lights off, and we had some top people addressing us with the lights off, which is really
intimate. I like that.
But the podcast is available there. Go and get it. We will be back after the break where we are talking to a managing director that is changing angle a little bit in his business, moving away from the numbers, looking at some marketing. We'll see you right after this.
Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
cliffcentral.com.